Amen. What a precious promise that is. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Looking again this Wednesday night at who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And Brother John, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, we ask that you'd meet with us tonight.
Yes.
Here for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Lord, would you speak through Pastor? Yes. The words and the power.
Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And actually, let's go through this three times together. Okay. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. So as we saw last week, that something like 70%+ of people on these polls we referred to claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and yet in the same polls and different polls as well, they don't believe that He's God. They say they had a personal relationship, received Christ as Savior, and yet they do not believe that Jesus is God. Many just believe He was a good teacher. Many saying that He was created by God, and so on, as we've seen. So we need to have in our heart scripture that clearly shows us who Jesus really is. So as we kind of just go over this verse once again, you notice there in the verse it says Jesus is the Mighty God, the Mighty God. So when you bring this verse up to a Jehovah's Witness, as we did recently, it's the same old story. They'll say, well, He's a God, little g. They believe He's a God, but not the Mighty God. If you hold your place here, turn me to John 1:1. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a different translation. They used to use the King James, but it condemns their doctrine so much, they eventually wound up making their own perversion of the Scriptures. But in John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. And you notice big G. In the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, little g. So they've added a, and then they've made it a little g. The Word was a God. So if you've ever tried to talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, you know what they do. You bring up a passage, and they'll run to a different one to try to prove you wrong. So, you know, it's like they're master escape artists. You take them to a verse that clearly shows them they're wrong, and they seem to somehow escape. And then you take them to another verse that shows them they're wrong, and they seem to somehow wiggle right out of it and escape. And they keep running. They don't answer. They keep running to other passages to try to show their point. So we have to say, no, we're going to stick here and until we finish talking about it. So it says here, well, let's go back to Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. So the last part there, well, the Jehovah's Witness, as this last lady agreed, she says, we believe that Isaiah 96 refers to the Messiah, refers to Jesus. Okay, so it says he's the mighty God. And she said, there are many gods. That's what she said. There are many gods. And so I said to her, look at the next phrase. So you look there, it says, the mighty God, and what does it say next? The everlasting Father. So I said to her, that God put that there just so there'd be no mistake. He's not talking about Jesus being a God, one of the many gods, little g. He goes on to call him the everlasting Father. So God made it crystal clear who we're talking about. Jesus is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. So we're proving here the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three persons in one. How do you explain that? Well, how do you explain it from our finite perspective? In our world of flesh, you can't have three separate persons be one. We don't serve three gods. We serve one true and living God. One God in three persons. There's just, you know, you can use many examples, you know, like the egg. You know, it's one egg, but it's three distinct parts. The shell, the white, and the yolk. And people have done other examples from nature and things. But nonetheless, it's something the Bible teaches and we accept by faith. It's very clear. So once you get that down, okay, just keep them right here. Just say, no, you're not going to run to a different passage. Look at it right here. He's called the mighty God. And it's not saying he's just one of many gods, little g. It goes right on to say, it calls him the everlasting Father. So once you get that settled, now they say that, well, they said it to me. They've said, well, he's not the mighty. They say he might be the mighty God, but he's not the almighty. I've had Jehovah's Witnesses say that to me. He might be the mighty God, but he's not the almighty God. Well, let's go to Revelation 1. But you can prove it. Remember, right there, it calls him the everlasting Father. So he is the almighty God. Right there, you can prove it. But Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. In verse 7. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, this coming, when it's talking about they shall see him whom they have pierced, this is not the rapture. Remember the rapture. We go to meet him with a cloud. So he's coming with clouds that time too, but at the end of the tribulation period, he's coming with clouds, but the whole world at that time is going to see him because he's coming all the way down to earth. Do you remember what mountain we talked about? He's going to, Mount of Olives. He's going to step down, touch down there in the Mount of Olives, and it's going to cleave right in two. There's going to be a very great valley there. So the world is going, all the world's going to see him. They're going to look on him whom they have pierced. And that would be specifically referring to the Jewish people because they're the ones responsible turning them over to Pilate and the Romans and who pierced him. So they're going to see him. And the scripture talks about Israel is going to be saved in a day. Just remember what we talked about Sunday? The Jews require what? A sign. The Greeks seek after what? Wisdom. So that's going to be their sign. And Israel is going to get saved in a day, a great turning to the Lord. So this is clearly talking about Jesus, verse 7. He's coming with clouds. He's going to be the one who was pierced for us. And then verse 8. This one who's coming with clouds, this one who is pierced for us is going to say, I am what? Alpha and Omega. In the Greek language, Alpha is the first letter, Omega is the last letter. So And he's going to go right on explaining. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the what? Beginning and what? The ending. So in our alphabet, it would be saying, I am A to Z, the beginning and the ending. Saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the what? The Almighty. So who is this referring to? Jesus. He's the Alpha and Omega. And he said right there out of his own mouth there, verse 8, that, well, let me read it again. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the what? Almighty. So you might want to note in your Bible at Isaiah 9:6, go to Revelation 1:8. If you come into a Jehovah's Witness and they say that, well, they might begrudge you and say, well, he might be the mighty God, but he's not the Almighty. Take him to Revelation 1:8. But remember, don't take him to Revelation 1:8 first. How do you prove when it says he's the mighty God? Let's go back to Isaiah 9:6. How do you prove that he is the mighty God and not just a God? Just stick right in that verse. He's the mighty God, and then what? The everlasting Father. Just don't let them make you run to some other place. Stick right there until they've got to admit it. It calls him there. They admit this verse refers to Jesus, and it calls him right there, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And then when you get them to see that and acknowledge that's what it says, then go to Revelation 1:8. But don't just take off there, because all you're going to be doing then is it's like playing tag. You know, you touch one verse, and then the other person runs to another verse. And then you run to another verse. And nothing gets accomplished. They never admit then that they're wrong. So stick right there in Isaiah 9:6. But once you prove it, then go to Revelation 1:7 and 8, because 7 proves that 8 is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also, once you make them acknowledge that Jesus is the one coming with clouds, verse 7, he is the one who is pierced, verse 8, he is the Alpha and Omega, well, he also is, verse 8, the Almighty. And then when it comes to Alpha and Omega, verse 8, then once you prove that, then you can go to other verses like Revelation 22. Revelation 22. There's really no way they can get out of admitting that this refers to Jesus. But just another reference to Alpha and Omega you might jot down next to that verse, Revelation 1:8, is Revelation 22, 12 and 13. Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And I'm pretty clear that this is referring to the Lord Jesus. He's coming quickly. And then he says in verse 13, I am what? Alpha and Omega. Right back in Revelation 1:8. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. So another verse showing beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Alpha and Omega is referring to Jesus. So, so we went over those there, and let's go over. We did Isaiah 9:6. So let's go to Matthew 1:23. Last week we also looked at this verse showing that Jesus is God. Matthew 1:23. So this is another verse we want tucked away in our hearts. So let's go through this one three times together. Okay? Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 1:23. Now, how can we explain this verse to someone using Isaiah 9:6? It says there, this virgin shall be with child. She's going to bring forth a son. They're going to call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. How can a virgin, how can a woman, a pure young lady, bring forth someone who's going to be called God with us? Let's go back and look at Isaiah 9:6. How do we explain this to someone if they ask? Isaiah 9:6. Okay, look at the first part. For unto us a what? A child is what? Born. So the child is born. Unto us a what? Son is given. So the child is born. So God is going to use a virgin to bring forth the physical body for someone who would be called God with us. Where does the God with us come from? The Son, the eternal Son of God, is given. And as we saw last week in the messages in John 3, that's what Jesus says to Nicodemus, that he came down from heaven, he's going to heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. So Jesus is teaching him right there that he came down from heaven and would ascend back. So Isaiah 9:6 is a good verse to prove Matthew 1:23. So, okay, so we've got Isaiah 9:6 we want to have for the Jehovah's Witnesses and anyone that doesn't believe Jesus is God. You know, in these polls they have been taking, you know, when 70%+ of people say they've received Jesus as their Savior, but they go on like 46%, 50-some% go on to say that they don't believe He's God, that He's just a teacher. 40-some% believe that He sinned. You know, they don't know the true Jesus and they need the Scriptures here. So Isaiah 9:6, Matthew 1:23. And let's go then to Revelation 1:8 there. We looked at that. So let's go through that one a few times. Revelation 1:8. Unless you have verses right down pretty good in your memory, when you start talking to people and the nervousness of it, you know what happens? You forget the reference. Where is that? You're trying to listen to this person talk about their false doctrine. You're trying to prove them wrong. So you're thinking about these verses and you're thinking, where is that reference? So we really need these verses down good in our hearts, or we won't be able to think of them when we're talking to these people. So let's go through this one three times together. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. Now, can you remember what Bible verse was it that called Jesus the Mighty God? Isaiah 9:6. So what verse proves that He's the Almighty? Revelation 1:8. Okay, so to get these verses down in our hearts. How important is it to believe that Jesus is God? Well, let's go to John 8:24. John 8:24. John 8:24. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall what? Die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall what? Die in your sins. Well, if we die in our sins, if our sins are not forgiven, where would we go? To hell. That's how important it is to believe that Jesus is God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. You gave us the promise that the Holy Spirit would bring these things to our remembrance, whatsoever you said unto them. And Lord, we need the Holy Spirit's help when we get in the midst of cultists who are arguing false things. And Lord, we need your word. And Lord, help us when they want to just run to another verse. Lord, help us to stick to these verses until the point is proved beyond a shadow of a doubt, and then to go on to other verses and prove it again. Lord, please help us. We know that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know, Lord, that you want every Jehovah's Witness to get saved and to become a true Jehovah's Witness, not a false one like they are, to show that Jesus is God, that they might be true witnesses of you. And Lord, help us. We want to reach them and all people. Lord, we want to be a channel that you can use. Lord, that your word may flow through, that your power may flow through, that you might be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.